Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and today is Thursday, October 17th, 2024, and we are continuing to read from the Big Book in We Agnostics, page 53, the third paragraph, which begins with "arrived at this point," ending with "we did not like to lose our support." Today's readers are Diane B., who will read the text, Penny L.C., A Vision for You, and Margaret D. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, October 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,837. Again, 21,837. And for Thursday, October 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,839. All right, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. If somebody is unmuted, could you star one? Thank you so much. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Joanne.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so very much for your service, Sue, and everybody on the line. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. in Rhode Island. Next, I would like to invite Jan L. to come on the line with us and read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your service. This is Jane L. in Florida. OA's 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous, accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 9, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Jan L. in Florida. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we're going to resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics on page 53, the third paragraph, arrived at this one point through to the end of that paragraph, ending with, we did not like to lose our support. And I'm now going to ask Diane B., who's in New York, to start reading and sharing on this paragraph. Thank you, Diane.
Thanks, Susan. Let's see. So, arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. Friendly hands had stretched out in welcome. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. Perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason that last mile, and we did not like to lose our support. Good morning. I'm Diane B., gratefully recovered here in New York. And this paragraph talks to me about taking a leap of faith. Prior to believing in a higher power, prior to coming into the rooms, reason was my God. It has a capital R in this paragraph because the bridge of reason. Reason was my higher power, that and the food, which got me nowhere in my life. But at some point, I had to just take that leap of faith, let go of my reason, let go of my intellect, and just go with my heart and my soul into believing that there was a power greater than me that could handle this or help me with this food addiction. And I just want to tell a little story of something that happened to me about 10 or 12 years ago. I was in Hawaii with my kids. They wanted to go zip lining. I did not want to go zip lining, but I got talked into it. And I remember standing on the first of five, things on the course. And scared and just kept telling myself, reasoning that this company does not want to have any lawsuits, so they check all the equipment for safety and nobody's going to get hurt, etc. However, it wasn't until I just said, okay, God, help me here, that I was able to step off the platform and actually do the zip line. I had to move from reason over to faith. And that's what happened in my program. I had to move away from reasoning, and I had to move into faith, faith that my higher power was going to take me through this. And through the years, I have lost half of my top weight. I, you know, lost 165 pounds, and I could not have done that on my own, because my entire life I was yo-yo dieting, and I just kept saying, okay, calories in, calories out, whatever they were telling me, and that wasn't working, until I finally really grasped the steps and really grasped onto this idea that there is a power greater than me that can help me with this. And it really doesn't matter what I call it. And as we read in this paragraph, in this chapter, we see that there are a lot of different names for whatever that higher power is. For simplicity, many of us call it God. I don't really know what it is. I just know that it is, and it is there. And so for me, this reason had to kind of take a step back and take second fiddle to higher power. And then again, I had to just take that leap of faith and go over that, you know, go to the other side, go to the other shore. And, you know, the book is full of promises of what happens, and many of these promises have come true for me. So I think with that, I'm going to pass, and I thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thank you, Diane B. in New York, for starting us off. Okay, first of all, let me just, in case you came in halfway, we're on page 53, the third paragraph. Diane just spoke about the paragraph, arrived at this point, through to, we did not like to lose our support. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So, who would like to share with us this morning? If you could please give me your first name, your last initial, and the state or country you are calling from this morning. I am ready. Star one to unmute if you'd like to share on this paragraph this morning.
Penny Elsie.
Thank you, Penny. Everyone's very shy this morning or having a problem unmuting.
Sandy T from California.
Sandy, thank you. Yep.
Joan,
sorry,
R.
I couldn't hear that. Joan R. Oregon, got you. Thank you. No problem. Thank you. Anyone else like to join this first lineup? All right. As everyone's having stage fright this morning, we're going to stop there. Got Penny LC. Penny will tell us where she's calling from when she shares. Sandy T in California. Joan R in Oregon. So if everybody other than Penny could please mute their line. Good morning, Penny.
Thank you very much, Susan. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And when I read this paragraph, I can't help but think about what bridge this is. And, you know, in my mind originally I thought of a very, you know, secure steel bridge that, you know, people go over for, you know, always without any hesitation because you just have a sense of trust with it. Except my bridge is more like one of those rope bridges over this vast gorge that you just sure, you know, it's going to shake and wiggle. You know there's not a lot to hold you on, and it's very treacherous. And the reason being is because the God of my understanding was something from others' ideas of it, and it didn't seem to fit for me. So my point of being able to cross that bridge had to come when I could find a higher power of my own understanding, you know, someone that I could trust that would see me across that wiggly, you know, unsteady bridge. And I could walk into the faith of and know that I would be safe and protected, because what the resistance was simply fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of doing something different than continually trusting myself and just knowing that I just needed to try harder. But that's finally, I had to come to the understanding that that would never be the answer. And taking this leap of faith, crossing this bridge, would prove to me to be something quite different, quite amazing, in changing my life one step at a time. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC from the state of Washington. Next, we will come back to California. Sandy T, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here. Thank you, Penny, and everyone that makes this meeting possible. I had a couple of really tough days. And the test days because I wanted to be in charge. But what I've got today is a new day of recovery. This is a new day to give my food and my sanity to God. And God wants me to be here with Him and you, and He is with me. I love to talk about the bridge, and my bridge was more like the one in Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, where he's standing on one side of a deep crevice, and on the other side is where he needs the other side of the crevice where he needs to go, but it's empty. There's nothing, there's no way to get across. And that step of faith, he only took after he threw dust on it for it to show up that it was actually there all the time. It was just an optical illusion. So that's where I feel like I'm standing today is at the edge of that cliff, getting ready to throw that dust over on the other side. And that dust is my own reasoning. My reasoning is not going to help me in this program. And with that, I'll pass, and thank you all for being here. You're my first step this morning that I pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy T. in California. Next, we have Joan R. in Oregon. Thank you, Joan.
Good morning, this is Joan, gratefully recovered in Oregon. I just love this paragraph. It goes right along with my love of the second step prayer, the prayer that asks us to be willing to be at the turning point, or that we know stuff about the program. We know from people's shares. We have tried lots and lots of stuff, and we've discovered our powerlessness and what a great gift that is. And you may not feel it now if you're so scared and you're so desperate, but that's where all of us who embark on this crossing the bridge have to come and to have hope that they can, you know, ask somebody to be their sponsor, hope that these people that are recovered will help them, the hands that are reaching out are here in this program, and such a wonderful, loving gift the vision is for everyone. They invite everyone. And so none of us are too messed up to get help here. And so with that, I'll just end with the second step. God, I'm standing at the turning point. Please give me protection and care as I abandon myself to you. I give up my old ways and my old ideas just for today. Amen. I pass.
Thank you very much, Joan R. in Oregon. All right, I am ready to take another lineup of names. First name, last initial, and state or country you're calling from if you'd like to share on today's paragraph. The third paragraph in We Agnostics on page 53 arrived at this point through to We Did Not Like to Lose Our Support. Fabulous paragraph. So hopefully everyone's over their stage fright. Who would like to share?
Carrie N., California.
Carrie N., California. Thank you.
Julie P., Minnesota.
Thank you, Julie.
Teresa P. from California.
Teresa P., California. Thank you.
Marcel F., Manitoba, Canada.
Marcel F., Manitoba, Canada. And who was after Marcel?
Linda G. in Alabama.
Linda G. in Alabama. Anyone else like to join this group?
Bruce
All right,
E. in
we'll,
Florida.
Bruce, got you, Bruce. All right, we'll pause there. And who I have is Carrie in Minnesota, Teresa P. in California, Marcel F. in Canada, Linda G. in Alabama, Bruce E. in Florida. So if everybody other than Carrie N. could mute their lines. Good morning, Carrie. Please share with us.
Good morning. It's Carrie N., compulsive overeater from California. And this reminds me of when I'm doing 10 steps, I often am doing fear inventories, and I have to ask myself those questions of, am I relying on my infinite self, no, my finite self, or infinite God? And then the question is, what would God have me be? And often the answer is, well, it's always my finite, I mean, not always my finite self, but most always my finite self. And then what God would have me be is faithful. And I am moving toward, I'm moving toward that other shore. And it's a slow process. That's another thing as I read this paragraph. I notice there's the idea of there's the journey. The journey is to get across the bridge to that shore, and it is slow moving. And so I am a person that hasn't always, my reason hasn't oriented myself toward a certain type of power that's greater than myself. And so I am continuing every single day as I register that fear to be able to ask that question. And then what I'll finish with is, as always, you guys are there for me. So I never noticed that before in the big book about how often it's talking about I'm not doing this alone. And so it says here, friendly hands had stretched out in welcome. So I just want to say thank you, friendly hands, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Carrie N. in California. Next, we're going to go to Minnesota. Good morning, Julie P.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I have to admit, once again, I am the real deal. I am a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I'm really sitting here, thank you everybody for your shares. I'm really thinking about this bridge. And, you know, my issue is I really don't have a problem walking over that bridge, but the problem is I keep jumping back. And I know I'm coming back from a very short relapse. And I'm grateful that I know that there is only one solution, and it is to continue to work this program as given by the directions in the big book, continuing to do my outreach, and most importantly, to grow in my spirituality and my faith. And this time, after this short relapse, I'm realizing that for me, it's all about trust. I've really never been able to trust anybody or anything other than myself my whole life. And I know that's where my issue lies. I have to walk the bridge all day, every day. I don't get to keep jumping back. I need to stay on the bridge to get to the other side. So thank you all for your shares. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie P. in Minnesota. Next, we have Teresa P. in California. Good morning, Teresa.
Well, good morning. Hi, I'm Teresa P., a group member of Overeaters Anonymous, recovered Overeaters, recovered, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I get to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous and a part of this grand organization, this fellowship. Yeah, I like fellowship. And I've always been, I've always been a solitary person. I've wanted to join up this. I just never could. My faith was broken early in life. The trust was broken. And I don't know why. I have thoughts, but I don't even know why. The problem was that one of the big ones was when my little sister was born when I was 12, but she had all kinds of problems, and just over a period, just before she was 2 years old, she died from them, and she was just dying slowly the whole time. And it was terrible because she wasn't able to breathe and stuff. And I was like, you know, I thought God was going to save her. And he didn't. Of course, actually, he did save her. He took her to heaven. She got to go first. Yay. Lucky her. And she needed to go. And, but it was hard. And I have other things that have, you know, just damaged my ability to trust. And so today, you know, but I got here, I got to program on my knees, you know, crawling, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm dying here. Please let me be dead. You know, just let me wake up dead. That's all I want, guys. Just let me wake up dead. So I got to break down and end up in program. It was great. And been working it the best I could for a number of years now. And, but it's always this trust issue. And today, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, by working the steps, you know, I can see myself and know what's going on. So I have a major trust issue. Don't trust God because, you know, of course, he let my illness die. He didn't heal her. He didn't heal her the way I wanted. And, of course, he had a better plan, but, you know, my thought was, you know, whatever. I wanted her made perfect, you know, just be normal and grow up and, you know, be like the rest of us. And so, you know, I ended up with this lack of trust that I didn't even realize that I had, this lack of trust. And so, and today I can check, and I just have a lack of trust. That bridge is very shaky. I know it's very shaky, and I'm scared to death. And so I have the God of the mustard seed. And so I thought, oh, I just need a little bit of it. I heard somebody talk about that, and I was so grateful that we didn't have to have this 100% faith, because they're like, I don't have that. I mean, that'd be a lie. And I can't lie like I used to. So I just had this little mustard seed faith, and kind of teased back, and then, you know, I had a sponsor.
That's time, Teresa. Yeah.
Okay, I'll just wrap up by saying I had a sponsor. She had the same problem, so I shared my mustard seed with her, so now we both have half mustard seed, but don't worry, folks, we have everlasting mustard seed. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Teresa P. in California. Next, we're going to go to Manitoba, Canada, to Marcel F. Good morning, Marcel.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Marcel in Manitoba, Canada, and gratefully recovered today by God's grace. Thank you, Susan, for your service. Thank you to everyone who has shared. It's just such a visual for me, this bridge, to cross it, because I am terrified of heights. And, you know, especially if the bridge is swinging a little bit, I just cannot bring myself to put my foot onto the bridge. And it reminds me that it's just one step. And that my higher power is, and all of my fellows are holding my hand. I came into this program full of fear. And it was a long time ago, 31 years ago. And I was, you know, in and out of recovery, I would say, but probably not fully recovered as I understand it today. And last November, I put my foot on the bridge and got a Vision for You sponsor. I was terrified, but one step at a time, just one step at a time, and keeping my eye focused on my higher power, not looking down, not looking too far ahead. I just was able to, with God's grace, be recovered one day at a time. And so if you're standing looking at that bridge, don't be afraid, just trust. And all will be fine because you're not alone. We're all in this together. Thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marcel F. in Manitoba, Canada. Next, we have Linda G. in Alabama. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, this is Linda G. in Alabama, a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. And I'm in a position where I have to trust God more than I ever have today. I have a prescription that is critical to me that I must take every day, and I'm missing seven pills from that prescription, and it can only be on the part of the pharmacy, and they refuse to refill those pills. So I'm having to jump through all sorts of hoops to get a prescription released early to me because it's a legally controlled substance, and I have to put that in God's hands. I have to trust God more than I trust my medication to help me get through this and manage my symptoms. And it's a scary proposition because my symptoms are scary. And it's been a long time since I've had to go through this process, but I know that God will see me through. I may have to go a couple of days without my medication. And that's not a pleasant thought. But if I turn myself over to my higher power, I know he'll help me. And it's about trusting him with everything I'm worth and everything I am to help me manage those couple of days. And my food is part of that because it will become an issue. And I have to turn my abstinence over to God, pray that he will help me with that too. So I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Linda G. in Alabama. Next, we're going to Florida. Good morning to Bruce E. Please join us, Bruce.
Good morning. Yeah, Bruce E. down in Florida. And, well, let's see. It looks like this paragraph is mostly about faith, which a lot of it, the program is, you know, a lot of it's based on faith, you know, and letting go of reason and taking hold of the hand of faith. And it says here that many have already gone over that bridge. You know, it said that. It says here some of us had already walked over, far over the bridge of reason, yeah, and toward the desired faith, yeah. So, you know, maybe many, but at least some have already done that before me. And then their hands are stretching out to welcome me as I get over on the other side. And so I ran into a guy here, well, this has been some years back, and I told him I was really scared about something. And he said, hey, man, he says, where's your faith? And that really got me wondering, you know, that all I needed was some faith to make it through. And that's what it's talking about here. I couldn't duck the issue. You know, it had to come down to faith. Am I going to go ahead and walk over that bridge, give up the food, put the food behind me, walk over that bridge to abstinence and serenity? And I leaned too heavily on reason, you know. I leaned too heavily on my own self, my own self-centeredness, and I had to give that up, and that support of that food, you know, I had to give that food up and lean on faith. You know, it has to be something. It has to be something to replace that food. And it turns out that it's faith and friendly hands in this fellowship. So I reached out finally. After quite a few years of struggling in the fellowship, got a sponsor, and we started reading this book together, you know, just the way we're reading it, you know, a couple sentences at a time, paragraph at a time. And, you know, the obsession and the compulsion started to lift. The connection started to come. And the connection with the power greater than myself, which God all the time, with his friendly hands waiting out to take my hand, you know, along with the other people in the fellowship. A lot of people in here in this fellowship that'll help, including myself. And so, yeah, can't duck the issue. You know, got to go across the bridge.
That's fine, Bruce.
Faith, yeah, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. All right, we have time for perhaps three more people, maybe four, depending. So if anybody else would like
Laura
to
w.
share with us.
New Jersey.
Laura W., yes, got you, Laura. Who is
Carly
that
B.
with Laura?
From Michigan.
Alexis from
Carly
New Jersey.
B. Alexis, New Jersey. I've got Michigan, New Jersey, and I'll take one more and see if we can do that.
Carly B. from Michigan.
I got you, Carly. No problem.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Anyone else? One more? All right. Well, we'll see where we go. We're going to go to Laura W., New Jersey, Carly B. in Michigan, and then back to Alexis in New Jersey. So over to you, Laura. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I loved listening to these meetings this morning. You know, this really reminds me of, you know, being scared about something but doing it anyway. Because for me, I need to act my way into faith. I need to act my way into right thinking. I can't think my way into right acting. So I need to do what's recommended and what's suggested, coming from God, coming from my sponsor, coming from professionals. And then, you know, for me, and then I get faith. I don't just have faith. Like, it's hard. I mean, I have faith with many things. And I have a strong connection with God, my higher power. But with many other things in my life, I don't know what to do, you know, and I don't have the answer. And I have a daughter who's in residential treatment right now, and to make that call to the police and the ambulance to come get her was the hardest call I ever had to make in my life. If you think the phone is heavy to pick up and call to make outreach calls, oh my goodness, this was the hardest call I ever had to make. And I had to trust God. I had to take the action, see her go and get treatment and get help, and then have faith that maybe, just maybe, she'll be okay. And it's not up to me, it's up to God. So, you know, first I have to believe that something's going to happen that's good. Then I have to take action. And then for me, I gain faith. So, you know, faith for me equals hope, and hope equals surrender. So that surrender to things that might scare me is crucial in my life. And, you know, people say, aren't you scared about this or aren't you scared about that? Yes, I'm terrified, but I do it scared. You know, I do it scared anyway, because I have to ask, how's my way working for me? How was my way, you know, before I came into recovery, how was my way working for me? It wasn't. So I had to throw up my hands and say, okay, God, I'm going to do it differently this time, and I'm terrified, but I trust you. And that's what this all tells me. That bridge of reason does bring me to the desired shore of faith. And I, you know, reasoning was, you know, reasoning myself, saying, well, maybe this, maybe that, that became my God. And until I was able to turn that over and to see that I really needed help and I can't do this by myself, you know, all step two, I feel like I'm all over the place, but all step two asks of me is to believe. And then the change comes over time. So that's really what I'm trying to say. So I'm grateful for my recovery today, for continued abstinence, regardless of outside circumstances. And I'm grateful for the meeting. Thank you so much, Susan. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. in South Jersey. Next up, we're going to Michigan. Good morning, Carly B.
Hi, thank you, Susan. This is Carly V, a compulsive overeater from Michigan. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share and for this meeting. I just could really relate to the passage right now. I've been experiencing a lot of fear this week, and just my life, it's funny, it feels very unmanageable this week. And I'm wanting to have, I'm reworking the steps again, and I'm, I know, because I'm going through it right now, I just know the experience of just the fear of, yeah, is it really going to do this, really going to fix everything I want it to fix, you know, this time through the steps. And because I'm clinging so hard, because I'm in fear, clinging so hard to what I know and what I can see and what, you know, what many of my human experiences have been to this point, and what I can control, and so much of my life, you know, early childhood and all of that, you know, me being the director and me protecting myself, like that's how I survived. So some good came out of those things, but it's not working for me anymore. And it wasn't totally working for me then either. I had a lot of anxiety and, you know, struggles then too, but I have experienced going through the steps before and finding recovery, and it did totally transform my life. And I did it by just taking those actions. And it started at step two with just believing that there could be a power out there that could restore me to sanity. You know, just that teeny inkling of hope and, you know, crack there, and then just starting to take the actions and not, you know, not even having to believe that they're all going to work, but just that they could work, and just listening to others and just taking those daily actions. And then just magic happened before, and my life just opened up in ways that I could not have dreamed, that were better than I could have dreamed. And, you know, and the food is mostly not an issue for me anymore. And I had some really solid months of real strong recovery with the food too, but compared to where I started in program, it's, you know, it's an issue, but it's mostly not, it's so improved, I guess is what I'm saying. But I want to keep using this program to keep transforming my life, you know, to keep going deeper with it. And so I'm just, I guess I just wanted to share that I have a lot of, even though it's easy to go back to the fear, I have a lot of hope based on thankfully, my past experiences of what it did for my life before, and hearing other people's experiences. It's just amazing how many people, the 12 steps have helped, and, you know, hearing people's stories in these meetings and in the readings and all the years of history, it's just so, so helpful, and just helps me to,
time, Carly,
to take that leap of faith and step to shore. So thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you so much, Carly B. in Michigan. Next, we're going back to New Jersey to Alexis. And sorry, Alexis, I didn't catch your last initial. If you could share it with us. Thank you.
Thank you for your service, and it's nice to be here with everyone. When I gave up food and my other addictions, it was a miracle. And it wasn't until I looked back on it that I realized that God had done it for me, that I didn't do it for myself, that I was praying even when I binged. And I was praying all the time. And then all of a sudden it just lifted. You know, I didn't want those things anymore. I had my alcoholic foods and I had my non-alcoholic foods, and I lived over the rainbow bridge of my recovery. And when my character defects went away one by one, I watched them fade, and it wasn't a stagnant process. It was ongoing. It was progress, not perfection. And I can see a lot of progress, excuse me, with my anger. Living together with my daughter, there are times we get irritated with one another because living together is hard. It's hard to live with someone. So recently my nephew passed away, my godchild. He was 48 years old. He had cancer when he was 18, came back on him 3 times. Excuse me. The third time it killed him. He suffered for 2 years with this, and my sister took care of him anyway. Every day he had no faith in God. And my sister lost her faith in God taking care of him. He was saying things to her like, "Mom, where am I going? What's going to happen to me? Will I be with anyone? Will I be alone? Am I going to dust? I know all those things aren't where I'm going." And my sister is a mess now. She doesn't get out of bed. She doesn't cook for herself. She was a very, very strong woman with a very professional job. And it's a shame not to have faith.
That's time, Alexis.
And count your blessings. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Alexis F. in New Jersey. So we probably only have 30 seconds, so I'm not going to offer that to anyone, as you'll barely be able to say your name. Thank you, Team Thursday. Diane B, Penny LC, Margaret D, Alex K, and Shelley E, who are going to stay. If you need a sponsor, if you are an available sponsor, please stay on. Joanne L and Jan L and everyone else who was here this morning was of service. Thank you all. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Penny LC, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Susan. This is Penny LC. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your path. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.